Welcome to Surthrival, the podcast about befriending grief. I'm your host, Stacia Gaines. I want to start with something that came to me on my way here today, and that is that it is okay to not be okay. And friends, I'm not okay today. This afternoon, I received word that one of my dear friends lost his battle with leukemia. And I'm really sad about that. And so when we're grieving, as we've talked about, we've got to feel the feels. And you need to know, it is okay to not be okay. And I'm not okay today. But because this podcast is about helping people who are grieving, I'm going to continue. And I'm hoping that something that comes out of my mouth helps me in my grieving process as I mourn the loss of my friend Walt. We have talked about identifying our emotions with granularity. And as a reminder, it's really helpful to go beyond "I feel sad" and maybe find words that are more granular, more detailed. Maybe instead of sadness, we also think about sorrow, or "I'm feeling anguished," "I'm feeling hopeless," "I'm feeling depressed." Sometimes we're questioning, which can lead to anger. Sometimes we feel remorse, which can lead to regret. And then ultimately even guilt in some cases. Sometimes we feel anxiety, stress, which causes us to feel overwhelmed and can also lead us to feeling fearful. So I hope you will take that list of words that we talked about in the last episode and really sit with your feelings. I had lunch with a friend today, and I practiced this podcast on him, and he gave me some feedback. He said, "Stacia, it's really important not only to recognize your feelings, but to sit with them. Let them happen to you." Many of us, we run from feelings that are uncomfortable. But force yourself to sit with that feeling. Really let it happen to you. And if you're feeling brave, ask yourself, where's that emotion coming from? Why am I feeling that way? How does it feel in my body? Am I tense? Am I short of breath? But really lean into those emotions. Sit with them. Let them happen. Today, we're going to get into expressions of our feelings. We've talked a lot about naming them and feeling the feels, but it is really important to find healthy ways of expressing your feelings. In grief, there can be a lot of ugly emotions. There can be anger. And we have talked about finding ways maybe to physically express that anger in a way where no one gets hurt. You can feel deep, deep sadness where you just ugly cry. Or maybe you scream out. You can feel things where you verbally vomit on a friend, where you can just get those raw emotions out. But I want to focus today on creative expressions of your feelings. And the reason I feel like creative expressions are powerful is creativity uses a different part of your brain. Let's say you're feeling sad. If you use your logical thinking part of your brain, you're going to try to come up with the reasons you are feeling that way, and you're going to try to problem solve. Okay, how can I not feel this way, or what should I do? But if you allow a creative expression of that feeling, it opens up a whole new world of possibilities. Now, you may be thinking, well, Stacia, I'm not really a creative person. I'm an accountant. I'm an actuary. I am a logical thinker. We are all creative in some way. So I wanted to share with you today some of the ways that my creative expressions have helped me work through emotions that I've had in grief. The first thing is it is important to write it down. As my friend at lunch said today, you need to get it out of your brain. I don't know how many of you wake up in the middle of the night and you have a thought and you put a note in your phone or you send yourself an email so that you can quit thinking about it. It's the same way with some of our thoughts and feelings about grief. So write it down. From a very practical standpoint, once my husband died, the kids and I, we created a list of things that needed to be done. And then we prioritized that list. So even that, we wrote down so that we could kind of divide and conquer. It's also really helpful when you've written it down, you kind of have a record of what you did and what still needs to be done. And you can go back to that. There is a real phenomenon called grief brain. And this is where you have so many feels, so many emotions. You may be in shock after the death. You may be in denial. And it just messes up your neurons. They are not firing on all cylinders. So by writing things down, you have less opportunity to forget something, to miss something, and it clears your brain out so that you can think and do what's important. Another way of writing things down that I found to be helpful is to journal. I know a lot of people feel a lot of ways about journaling. You may be thinking back to your ninth grade English class where you were given a journal prompt every morning and you had to write for 10 minutes on whatever the prompt was. But in my journaling, I write about whatever is in my head, whatever I'm thinking, feeling, ideas I have. This morning, I wrote about how I was feeling about my finances and how I was going to save more and spend less and why. Sometimes I write a Bible verse or a quote from a book that's been meaningful to me that I want to remember. Much of this podcast, if not all of it, has come from me writing down something that I found to be helpful in my grief journey. And I've gone back to that journal and I've reread it and used it to help you in your grief journey. So I really encourage some sort of journaling. But another type of journal that is really cool and really interesting and different is a little over a year ago, I started a drawing journal. Okay, I'm not an artist, y'all. I'm really not, but I've gotten better. But a drawing journal is, for me, just a visual of whatever I'm thinking, feeling, experiencing. it is a way for me to pull all those random thoughts together and put it into a visual. Now, part of this is I'm a visual learner, and I think in pictures and in visual things. I'll give you an example. This morning, I awoke with my brain flooded with ideas. This is a blessing and a curse. I am an idea person, and I can have so many ideas and never get around to doing anything. So I got up and I thought, oh, my brain is just so full of ideas and thoughts and worries. So what I drew this morning was a picture of a brain. And in that brain, over and over again, I wrote the words worries, thoughts, ideas. I wrote it all over the brain. And then I wrote Bible verses that talked about the mind. And I wrote those verses all around my picture of my cluttered, swirling dervish of a brain. And that was my expression. All these random thoughts and worries and ideas swirling around my brain. But I drew it out on paper. I colored it. And then I wrote verses that had to do with the mind. So that's just an example. I've taken this journal on hiking trips, and I've drawn what I saw in nature. One of my favorite examples is in the Smoky Mountains, I saw synchronous fireflies with a friend. And you can't capture that in a photograph, but I could draw what I remembered. And that's one of my favorite drawings in my journal. I want to talk about music too. Music is really a powerful tool of healing. One of the most interesting books I've read in the last couple of years is a huge tome called Music and Mind. And it is edited by Renee Fleming, a very famous soprano. And one of the things that I found so interesting is that music is one of the very few, if not only, things that uses almost every part of your brain. Isn't that fascinating? It uses almost every part of your brain. There's the rhythm, there's the auditory, there's the lyrics of music, there's the tones and making the pitch. What is the difference between this pitch and that pitch? It uses every part of your brain. I have a close friend who lost her mother-in-law, and she sang at the homegoing. And when she sang, y'all, I told her I could see into her very soul. And she told me that she had not sung since her son's funeral. Because it's so, music can be hard. It reaches deeply and it touches you deeply. So you may not be able to sing publicly. You may just sing in the shower. But singing opens up a part of you. Playing the piano, whatever instrument you play, writing music, composing music, listening to music. I also want to tell you that this morning, I had a dance party. I really like music, but I'm not one of those that listens to music all the time. But I really like music to set a mood. And this morning, I honestly was going to put on some Christian music to journal by. But the Pandora station that came up was cleaning music. And so I had a dance party to Smash Mouth. And I literally danced around my living room. And you would be amazed how much better you feel after dancing to Smash Mouth. Try it. There is science behind using creativity to express your feelings. It opens and uses parts of your brain that logic and just mere feeling, it doesn't do it. Find a way to creatively express what you're feeling. Okay, maybe it's not music, maybe it's not journaling, maybe it's not drawing. Maybe you take a walk in nature and you practice photography. It's amazing what, if you're taking a walk and you're really looking for the small things, you're looking for that caterpillar or that tiny, tiny grass flower that's coming up. Noticing those things of beauty, maybe snapping a photo of it. Noticing beauty around you also kind of opens up new channels, new neural pathways. Pottery. I've never done that, maybe in college in an art class, but I've heard people say that throwing a pot is such a physical, tactile way. Because you're forming that clay, your hands are messy, and you're deep into it, and you're focused on what shape you want to make. Maybe it's the type of literature you read. When Matt first died, I read a lot of different things. I read books about death and books about lamentations. I read a lot. But some of the books that were most meaningful to me were books of poetry, books of blessing. And I've never been a person who just loved poetry. It just wasn't me. But poetry and blessings, that type of literature, it reaches your feelings, your deepest feelings. And music does that too. So expand your horizons a bit. On my website, I list some of the resources that were really helpful to me. The Cure for Sorrow is a book of blessings that was extremely helpful to me. I am reading a book of blessings now that I got for my birthday that is just really speaking to me in a whole new way. So expand your horizons and read books of poetry and blessing, more artistic expressions of words. And I think you'll find that to be really helpful in identifying what you're really feeling. You can really relate to some of those words. So let's wrap this up. We talked about the importance of feeling the feels. We talked a great deal about the fact that if we don't feel the feels, the body will keep score and we will experience physical, emotional, mental health issues. We also talked about the importance of naming your emotions and really getting granular, really sitting with them, thinking about them, looking at why you feel that way, looking at how it's affecting you in your body. And then today we've kind of wrapped up this particular series with expressing your feelings. It is important to express your emotions in a healthy way. It is also important to not express your feelings in unhealthy ways. And if you don't proactively find ways to express them in a healthy way, you will end up kicking the dog, losing your temper with your spouse, sniping or snapping at your coworkers. It's going to come out. So sit with your feelings, feel them, and find a healthy way of expression.
That your mother-in-law. Thank you for listening to Sir Thrival, the podcast about befriending grief.
My hope is that something you've learned today has piqued your interest and you can take a baby step in your own healing journey. I would love to hear from you. To send me a message or even tell me your story, go to SirThrivalPodcast.com. If you'd like to book me as a speaker, you can also do that through the Contact Me section of my website. Please follow me and tell your friends.